Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Zurian Show. The Zurian Show brings and shares powerful and useful information to our listeners. The show is great for those looking for the positive in the world. The goal of the show is to share great information on a number of topics and great subjects. Many of the subjects covered are not only great information, but helpful insights. The Zurian Show even shares some of life's greatest lessons from time to time. Thank you for listening, and now to our host, Zurian.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening into The Zurian Show. As always, we hope that we find you in the best of health, wealth, happiness, and, of course, good spirits. Today, ladies and gentlemen, I am excited. I don't know if you can hear the smile on my face, but I am excited because I have a very powerful young lady who I actually had the privilege of sitting through one of her training sessions. And, again, that young lady is truly, to me, amazing. You know, I mean, a lot of people like the accent, too, but the content that she shares, her wisdom and her experience is just phenomenal, and her overall insight is truly something to be seen. Today we're going to talk about the five deadly sins, and our guest today is Ms. Jennifer Samuels Chance, and she is the creative founder of Your Endless Possibilities, Inc., and she uses her 14 years of experience as an international speaker and storyteller to show entrepreneurs, sales teams, and leadership professionals how to build lasting and profitable business relationships as they also share their stories. So with that, I'd like to go ahead and let this get kicked off because, again, this lady has a ton of phenomenal information to share. Jennifer, how are you today?
I'm doing just fabulous. How are you doing, Z?
You know, I'm never going to do as good as you, but there's always hope and prayer, and I'll keep trying.
You're so funny. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Thank you for coming on. You know, I was really intrigued about the overall title, The Five Deadly Sins. But before we actually go into that, could you tell us a little bit about the greatness that is you? And we already know that greatness is definitely very strong.
Oh, we've only got 30 minutes. Okay, well, no. All joking aside, basically my history is very long. The short version of it is that I'm originally from London, England. I've been in the fabulous United States for about 33 years, and I live in not-so-sunny right now, kind of rainy, Tampa, Florida. So I spend most of my time traveling the country, speaking, storytelling, and just sharing words of wisdom, that some of which I've developed myself and some I basically borrow from other people. And I try and use my skills, which I feel were given to me divinely, to pass it on to others, to make their lives better, to make their skills better. So ultimately, this world is better. Kumbaya.
I like that. And you've also worked with some rather big companies to help them tell their story, which I think is phenomenal. You know, that's just amazing. All right, so you help people to present with their speeches and their presentation development and the execution of their overall stories. Could you tell us a little bit about, I guess, how you do that?
Well, basically, if you've been listening to the news and watching a lot of media, the buzzword for the last 5 years has been about stories. And basically, a lot of major companies especially are using stories to create a culture so that clients, so that customers stay loyal to a brand because they know the story. A perfect casing example is Apple. Everybody, I think, knows Apple's story. Basically, we know what they stand for. We know their backstory. We're familiar with Steve Jobs' story. And that creates a sense of loyalty that you just really cannot put a price on. So what I do is I work with professionals that work within organizations, and I do actually twofold. What I love to do is work with companies that have leaders and their staff, and I really encourage them to work on, number one, their own individual stories, to share a little bit about themselves so that their staff know that they're human, and then also, two, work with the organization to find out stories from the staff at all levels so that the culture is basically set. It's not just the leader spewing information down to his staff. It's basically, what is everybody about, and how can we all use our stories and experiences to make the organization better? And companies that have taken that tact seem to be profiting much more than organizations that don't. So that's essentially what I do.
That's huge. And when you talk about stories, you mentioned probably one of the greatest companies to ever actually tell their story. I mean, Apple, to some people, their loyalty to Apple is almost cult-like. You know,
I fully agree.
Yeah, you would never see anybody with an Apple computer with something over top of their screen. That Apple symbol is always very prominent, which is just goes to show how well that their story has been told and how their brand is out there. It's really, really huge. So, again, it was interesting. Until I took your class, I never really thought about that. And your course was actually about helping people speak, but you covered some of these details in that, and that was huge for me. And, I want to thank you because you clearly made an impact on me.
Welcome. You're more than welcome.
Thank you. So with that said, let's go to learn a little bit more because, again, I know that you do working with presentation teams to ensure that they reach their desired goals. Could you tell us about these five deadly sins?
Doesn't that sound intriguing? Five deadly sins. Dun, 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 dun. Well, there's actually more to the story than five deadly sins. My deadly sins that I'm going to talk about are regarding public speaking. I'm just going to be really honest. As I've traveled the country and have encountered and met tens of thousands of people, and especially those that are not necessarily in leadership positions, I do sometimes hear feedback on how the leaders at these organizations present and speak and how it's not always favorable. And being a former leader myself and also too working in the realm where I do work with other leaders in several different organizations, I realize that some leaders just don't know what they put out there. And there's multiple reasons for that. I'll go into them in just a second. But I think it's really, really important to know that leadership is from the inside out and flows all the way through the organization from the top down. So there are some things out there that leaders are doing they don't know they're doing. And because they're leaders, their staff won't tell them because they're scared. They're either scared they're going to get fired or they're scared they're going to get fired, one of the two. So I wanted to share this information to help leaders out there so they're aware of what they're doing. And I came up with five. Actually, there's more. We just have time for five today, but we're going to go into the five major ones. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You're ready? You sure? Hang on now. Okay. So my deduction from working with leaders and being one myself is that a lot of leaders are very busy in their business, running the business, leading, doing what they should be doing. And they may learn skills which are pertaining to the industry they're in. They may have very specific skills, whether it's strategic planning, accounting, whatever it is. They're very much skill-based. But many leaders neglect to really work on their public speaking skills because whatever the organization is about, the leader or the leadership team are the voice piece. They're the microphone of what the organization stands for. So this is for the leaders out there, or for those of you that are not leaders, tell the leaders out there so they can listen to this, so that they're aware of what they may be guilty of, and they can then work to correct it so that it doesn't happen. Again, these are things people are saying about you behind your back. Number one, if you have a leader that doesn't speak, period, which means they're around the organization, but if there's any major announcements, any major messages, anything that needs to go out there, they physically don't do it. They may delegate it to one of their staff. My experience has been, so I do have several clients that are in that category, is that many of leaders, well, I always say this, people are people first before their job titles. So there are some of us that are leaders, but if you have a fear of speaking, that doesn't go anywhere until you do something about it. So I've encountered leaders that have admitted they have a fear of speaking, therefore they delegate, so they don't have to do it. When you don't speak, which means if you're not a very vocal voice piece for your organization, you're kind of an absentee leader, even though you may be around the office, around the building, but if the people that work for you don't hear from you, they don't have anything to grab onto. They don't have anything to say, okay, I trust this person, I respect them. They have credibility because they're not hearing from you. So no matter how scared you are, my challenge to you, leaders that don't actually do much physical speaking out there, is to do it. Face your fear head on and just do it. And there's many ways, if you do have stage fright, there are many ways to get through that. Too many to mention at this time right now, but there are ways to get through it. But the key is just go ahead and do it. You may be amazed at the reaction you'll get from people when you start actually stepping up and putting your voice out there.
Well,
ready for another one?
I'm ready.
You ready? Okay, I'm going to keep going until you stop me. Okay, so we've got the people that don't speak. That's number one. Then we've got people that are the other end of the spectrum, which means when they do speak, they wing it. And that means they don't take time to prepare. They just say, okay, I kind of know what I'm going to say, and when I get up there, then I'll say it. Here's
wow.
my take on that one. Unless you are an extremely gifted speaker, and I will say that, being in the speaking world, there are very few people that are extremely naturally gifted, and I'm talking without preparation. They can just go up there and be impromptu. There are many speakers out there, and I will use his name again, Steve Jobs, who was renowned for his speaking ability. But most people don't realize the amount of preparation and practice and strategy that it went into sounding just like your impromptu. So I highly advise those leaders out there that say, I'm just going to wing it. Don't. What you're doing is actually confusing your staff and confusing your audiences. Even though you may have an entertaining style and you're engaging, if you don't have a consistent flow, sometimes there's a flow of a story that makes perfect sense in our own heads, but when it comes out of your mouth, it's something different. So if you have no plan, you're just, you know, all over the place, then people may enjoy it, and then they'll walk away saying, what? Huh? What? And if that's the case, then your speech or presentation was not as effective as it possibly could be. So those of you that like to wing it, just don't. Please, don't wing it. Plan. One of the major things you need to probably bear in mind when you're about to speak is consider, what do I want people to take away, from this talk? How do I want them to feel? What action do I want them to take? You need to ask questions like that before you get on stage so that you can answer those, make sure those are answered somewhere in your talk or presentation, and therefore when people finish listening to you, they're like, ah, okay, or they'll do whatever it is you want them to do, okay? So don't wing it, people. Just please don't wing it.
Very cool. What you're saying is absolutely correct, because, again, if I went to a play and the actors had just been given the script, as soon as they started talking, I'd want my money back. Same deal.
Yes. And I will say this candidly. I do meet with speech writers. I do some speech writing in my work, but that's not my main focus. But I have met with several speech writers who do write for C-level executives. And this is the case, just like you said, where sometimes they're handed the speech as they're walking up to the stage. And I want those of you listening out there, start paying attention to the body language, and you will start realizing real quickly who practiced and who didn't. My main concern is to make sure that when you go on stage, or you know people that go on stage, they practice before they get up there. Okay, just practice.
Cool. Very
now,
cool.
Deadly sin number three, it's all about them, which means you have some leaders that just like to hear themselves talk, whether it makes sense or not. And guess what? They're perfect. They're wonderful. They've never done anything wrong, and everybody loves them. And I don't have any problem with self-promotion when you speak, but if that's the constant message over and over and over again, guess what? People are going to get sick and tired of it, and then they won't believe you. And when you have staff that work for you that don't trust you or believe you, ooh, you're in some serious trouble. Serious trouble. So for those of you that probably will not physically admit it in public that you do it, I want you to really take a hard look when you do speak. If you're using examples, if you're using stories, is it always that when you're in the situation, if it's a story that you're telling, that you are always the hero or you always save the day? Is it always positive? I don't have a problem with some of that, but when you're always the good guy, always the hero, always the person that saves the day, then people do get a little tired of that. So a solution to that would be to do have some of your stories and examples of success, but also be willing and bold to share some of your vulnerability, which means those times when you messed up, those times when you messed up and possibly learned from the lesson, those times when you messed up and you still haven't learned the lesson. Go ahead and share those. Now, that doesn't mean we need all your business, all of your dirty laundry out there. You will be selective, I hope, in what you share with people. But don't be afraid to share that vulnerability, because it shows that you're human and you have other members of your staff that need to hear that. They need to know that you're real, that you've made mistakes, just like they make mistakes, and that way their ears and their heart are far more likely to be open than not. So the key is just don't let your ego get in the way. Pay attention every time you speak as to make sure that all of your stories are not all about how wonderful you are. Is that making sense to you?
Yes, that makes sense. What's number
Great.
Four? It makes a lot of sense.
Number four, and this is probably one of the major complaints I hear mostly when I work with people that watch speakers, is using visual aids as a crutch as opposed to it being an enhancement, which means I'm going to use probably one of the most popular visual aids out there, a PowerPoint presentation or any kind of presentation where there's a projector and a screen. And there are many people that, for whatever reason, it could be that they did not have time to prepare for the speech or presentation. It could be that they don't know the stuff. So what they do is sometimes stand in front of the screen and read it. And I've seen it so many times where they will stand with their back to the audience and read it. Some are a little smarter, and if there is a laptop or a display screen in front of them, they'll read it then. But even then, all of their energy, all of their attention is going into the information on the screen as opposed to the audience. What does that do? It cuts the audience off at the knees, big time. So those of you that know this, you're guilty. Know your stuff. Start knowing your stuff. People want to hear and see you. The slides are nice, great. But I heard it said many, many times, if somebody watches you speak, they're not going to remember PowerPoint slide number 42. What they will remember is you, your demeanor, and your stories, and maybe a little bit of information in between. Do you mind if I share a brief story on that?
No, go ahead.
Great. I did have the privilege, probably a couple of years ago, of sitting in on a presentation. And I was a guest. I was not there working or anything like that, just sitting in the back row. And observing the speaker, who was actually a fantastic speaker, he was very, very good, had the most amazing stories. He was a world traveler, and the stories are fascinating. However, each time he went to the information part of the presentation, he went, stood with his back to the audience and read the slides. And the slides were incredibly detailed, the smallest font I've ever seen. And also, too, in a 45-minute presentation, there were 75 slides.
Whoa.
75. Yes. And because I do this, it's a habit that I've developed over the years. If I sit in the back and I'm watching a speaker, part of me is listening to what they're saying, but part of me is also watching the audience just to see how the audience reacts to what they say. And it was amazing to see. It was like a wave. When he spoke and told his stories, everybody was up, their attention, they were alert, they were smiling and enjoying the stories. The minute he turned to the screen, it was like everybody kind of slumped down. You could see some eye rolling. You could see some elbows on the tables. And the energy just fell flat. And then he got to tell another story to bring it back up. It was like a wave. I've never seen anything like it. So to be honest, I couldn't resist. I usually do not do this, but I had to tell him because it was a shame. It was a wonderful presentation, but those slides. So I approached him. He wasn't exactly happy about it, to be honest, after the presentation. But after a couple of days, he calmed down a little bit and took a phone call with me, and I gave him some suggestions. And I basically recommended that he cut the slides from 75 down to 25, and he did that. And he called me the week later, and he said, thank you. There are times when you're just so much in the zone with information that you forget that you're actually talking to people. And there's only so much information they can take in, so you have to make sure that you don't bombard them with the slide stuff and the information. They need the stories as well. So just watch your visual aids.
Okay. That's, again, useful information, because I'm sure that if for everybody that's there, we could all raise our hands and we can name or know presentations or, you know, training sessions that we've been to when that exact thing has happened. So thank you.
There you go. Okay. Deadly sin number 5, delivering a speech that's been memorized word for word. Now, I can probably hear the mindsets of some of you listening to this saying, well, how else are you supposed to do it? You're supposed to know your stuff and say it. When a presentation or a speech is memorized word for word, what that does is it puts you in a very different state when you're in front of an audience.
Mm-hmm.
When you're memorizing or trying to remember what you should be saying, your energy is not anywhere near as positive or going out to the audience because you're trying to remember. So I've seen many presentations where I could tell whether they were memorizing or not because it changes the cadence. It changes how you speak. There are some people that if they have memorized a speech, this is basically the way they will say it because that's the way they remember it. Can you hear the difference between that kind of speech versus, and this is the way I speak. This is the way I come across, which has a lot more life and a lot more authenticity to it. So for those of you that may be saying, well, if I don't memorize it, how am I supposed to know it? Well, recommendation is to know your speech, know your information, know it extremely well, but do not do it word for word. When I work with clients, I teach them to work in chunks, story chunks, presentation chunks, which means if you have a speech that is 20 minutes long, I usually physically have them map it out on paper like a flow chart. Well, this is the introduction, then here's a story, then here's this, and then here. So whatever the individual components are, I have them memorize the individual components separately. Because this is what happens very often when you're speaking. You may be on the program, and they say, okay, you're going to speak for 20 minutes. And then when your time comes, they'll say, well, you know what, we gave you 20 minutes, but actually now you've got 10. If you memorize your speech word for word, all 20 minutes of it, you are now panicking. You are sweating bullets. Oh, my gosh. How am I going to do this? What am I going to cut out? My speech is ruined. And you're going to freak out. If you learn it in chunks, which means, okay, here's the introduction, and that's usually 2 minutes long, and here's this story, and that's 3 minutes long, and here's this information, whatever is your speech is made up of, then if they cut your time short, you can then, because you haven't learned it word for word and strung it all together in one piece, you can take bits out much easier. Now, I'm sure that you're still going to be nervous and unsure as to whether it will make sense, but it'd be a lot easier to cut a 20-minute speech down to 10 because you've learned it in chunks versus trying to take out stuff you've memorized and then it messes things up. So, yeah, don't memorize. Let me give one last point on the memorization thing, too, because this has happened to me, and it may have happened to some of you out there listening, maybe even you, Z, where if you have memorized a speech or a phrase and you're in the flow, things are going good, yes, everybody's loving it, and then you get distracted, and that could be anything. It could be an audience member doing something. It could be something that happens on the stage. PowerPoint blows up, whatever, and that distraction messes up your flow. And I've seen it on major stages with some very famous speakers where they've lost their flow. And they're like humana, 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 standing there in front of people, trying to remember where they left off because they memorized it. So, yeah, many reasons. Don't memorize. Do not memorize.
Yes, well, those five deadly sins are all definitely valid. And I know from, again, taking your class or your course myself, that you could expound on that greatly. But before we even touch on anything else, could you tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Sure. Well, if you look on Z's website for this show, you'll see my email address, and I will go ahead and just say it physically right now. My email address is Jen, J-E-N, at worryfreespeaking.com. And that's exactly how it's said, worryfreespeaking.com. Also on the website is my phone number. Am I allowed to give that out here? Phone number?
Sure.
813-238-6845. And then I do have my website, which unfortunately is being worked on right now, so I don't want to give that address out because you'll be disappointed. But I do have my LinkedIn address on Z's page. And then if you email me, I'll be more than happy to send anybody that listens to this a actual physical copy of what I've just explained. Because I know that if you're listening, you may be working or in the car, and you may not have ability to take notes. So what I have actually done is put this together in a nice article format, and I'll send you that with my absolute compliments and pleasure.
Okay. And for all of those that are listening, you know, I don't know how long that offer will last, so you need to go ahead and take advantage of it, because some people listen to the shows as they're archived. You know, talking to you and listening to what you were saying, it's kind of interesting. I was listening to some gentlemen actually today that were doing a show, and I think the thing that was driving me crazy about the show was kind of what you said. I know that they planned it, but they were long, and they were all over the place and off the point, and, you know, I'm kind of an analytical type of person, so I need get to the point. You know, and these guys were, like, all over the place. I mean, laughing about other stuff, changing the subject matter. You know, it almost sounded like a bad infomercial.
Oh, dear.
So, you know, it was just, it was really interesting. And I know you work with speakers and, you know, you work with, again, people who are trying to tell their story. And I don't think that a lot of people understand that, even if you've got a block of time, one, you should always end on time. Is that correct?
Correct.
And two, you should make sure that your content and, I guess, your self are evenly balanced. You know, I think I saw more of some people's selves, maybe it's nerves,
mm-hmm.
I don't know,
mm-hmm.
than content. And, again, for somebody like myself, you're going to lose me. You know, because, again, I don't really feel as though you're interacting with me. I feel as though you're doing filler or you're throwing things in there that are unnecessary, and we're all busy people. You
there
know?
You go.
What is it? What was it? Dragnet? The facts? Just the facts?
There you go. Well, you've made a very valid point that people are busy, and we are so bombarded with data and information and distractions. So you've got to make sure, just like you said, that what you have to say is relevant and important to the people that you're speaking to. And unfortunately, in my field of work, I meet too many speakers and presenters that are about, all right, I'm just going to say it, themselves, which means they may have expertise and be great at what they do and even be great at explaining it, but they forget that they're dealing with an audience that has requirements like you, which is, okay, get to the point quickly. Now, also, too, you will have audience members that maybe want a little bit more information and data. So there is a fine balance between the two. But please bear in mind, when you're speaking in front of an audience, it actually doesn't matter what level of an organization you're at, or even if you work for an organization. What is your style of communication versus the people that you're delivering to? Because, again, if I am one of those people that's all over the place, I've just lost him. And I need to know as a speaker, okay, I know I tend to go off track. Let me make sure I have notes in front of me. Let me make sure I have a cue card, something, so that when I do go off point, it's easy for me to get back on point so that I don't waste your time and disrespect your time. And also, too, get my very valuable information and skills out to you so that you can benefit from what I'm saying. So, yeah, it's very, very important to keep on time and stick to the point.
Yes, thank you. And you really said it earlier when you said that when you were talking about the story with the gentleman that did a fabulous presentation, but he every time he would turn to the board, he would lose, you know, it was a wave, basically. But it wasn't a wave that necessarily his audience appreciated. Is that correct?
Right. Correct. And it's unfortunately very, 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 very common. Very common. And I would say even with people that speak for a living like I do, I see it all the time. And sometimes it's unintentional. If there's an issue with a visual aid, okay, that's different. But I see it where people, they're trained for a living, they speak for a living. They technically probably should know better, but they don't realize that energy connection that's absolutely broken when you turn away from an audience for a long period of time or you're focusing on one area. If I'm looking at that or you're looking at them, you're saying, well, what about me? Hello, I'm here. Pay attention to me, which is what audiences want all day long. They're in it with the wonderful sign in their forehead that says, what about me? What does this mean to me? So you've got to make sure that you're always addressing that and don't leave them out.
Outstanding. Well, you definitely covered some huge things, and I'm glad you made clarification because I say I want to speak to a professional. Plus that, I know that you strongly believe, because I know you have a coach, and you also tell other people that they need to get someone like yourself. They need a coach. They need someone that can guide them in the right direction so that when they get up there, they don't lose people. They do make the presentation in a manner where people are going to take it. So
yes.
You helped, even though I'm a natural speaker, you know.
Actually, you are, though. So yeah, that's I don't mind you tooting that horn. Toot. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. I wasn't expecting the kudos, but thank you very much. But, yes, it's been interesting. And, again, I want you to know that I appreciate you coming on the show. And, ladies and gentlemen, we will be getting Jen back again because, again, the lady has a plethora of information, knowledge, experience.
Plethora. I love it. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Not a problem. And again, she not only talks the talk, but she walks the walk. And she can help you and your company and your agency or whatever it is that you work for, you as an individual, to improve your ability to tell your story. Because that's what people connect with. Again, I want to be, how you say, I want to be like I want people to follow me like a cult, except I'm not going to do anything to hurt them or steal their money or any of that stuff. And I'm assuming that everybody that's out there also wants to get their message across clear. So with that last thing said by me, Jen, is there anything else you'd like to share with the audience?
No, just basically pay attention to all these five deadly sins. Don't do them. And then also to have the courage to listen to objective feedback if you decide that you're going to work on your speaking skills, because sometimes it hurts. But usually if you get it from a professional such as myself or even a great objective person that you know, it's designed to make you better. So go ahead and don't just think about it and say, oh, one day I'm going to get that coach. One day I'm going to just do it. Do it. You'd be absolutely amazed how it can transform connections with people around you, your customers. It's just amazing. So just go ahead and get it done.
Yeah, a lot of us need to understand that we need to invest in ourselves because we're truly the only asset or real asset that we have. So, again, Jennifer, thank you. Again, ladies and gentlemen, this was Jennifer Samuels Chance, and she is the creative founder of her company, and her company is definitely one that you want to get to know about and want to share with other people. And that is, of course, Your Endless Possibilities, Inc. So, ladies and gentlemen, please reach out to her. Please share the link and the show with other people or people that you know may need some guidance, and you may point them at this and they'll see it. Again, Jen's email is jen@worryfreespeaking.com, and she gave her phone number, which was 813-238-6845, and that's also that all of that information is on the show. And I'm sure she'd be more than happy to help you or guide you in a direction that's going to get you where you need to be, even those of us that think we're natural speakers. All right, let's stop kidding ourselves. We all need help. Jen,
take the compliment, Z. Take the compliments.
No, I took it. I'm taking it. She's also got me in therapy training, ladies and gentlemen. She's my speaking strength.
You're funny.
Again, Jen, I want to thank you again for sharing your phenomenal knowledge, experience, and, of course, that phenomenal sense of humor. And if they could see your face, they'd see that beautiful smile of yours, too. But they can't see that today. You're
welcome. That's okay. There's a picture on your website, so they know, but they can look there.
Okay, they can look there. Again,
yes.
Thank you very much, and we will talk very soon, and we'll also work on getting that next show up, and we'll go from there.
Okay, thank you very much for having me on your show.
Thank you. You take care.
Bye-bye.
See ya. Ladies and gentlemen, again, that was Jennifer Samuel Chance, and again, this lady has an awesome number of accolades that she could share with you. And her abilities clearly speak for themselves. And if you talk to any of her clients, you'd understand exactly what I'm talking about. So with that said, we're going to close today. Thank you for listening to The Zurian Show. And as always, we wish you every and all success. Take care. Take action. Act now.